Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows, a little bit of games today, Mason,
if you don't mind.
Okay. Yeah. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm here.
Yeah, you are here.
Oh, it's so good to not be at work.
Boy,
I'm on holiday.
It? Yeah,
Feels great.
5 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, 4 weeks left for you now, isn't it?
Oh,
I'm
man.
I'm going to count every week. I'm going to count it down.
Oh, no, don't. You've texted me every day. 4 weeks and 6 days. Oh, no.
So you're catching a bit of some comedy shows, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is in full swing.
Yeah, a lot of people from the podcast network have got shows.
They do, yeah.
We're going to talk about it a bit later, but we've got a newsletter on the website, planetbcasting.com, and if you can sign up for it. It's only like once a week. It's not going to harass you too much.
Mm.
And it tells you what's going on, like new podcasts and whatnot, yeah. But also everybody's show.
What are our mates are doing? Yeah, what are they getting up to?
What are they getting up to? Pick your favorite or pick your least favorite and heckle them. It's up to you.
Don't do that.
Nah, you can. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
They're comedians. They love it. They revel in it, Mason. They love having the show interrupted.
They didn't plan precisely an hour-long show. They built in some heckle time. Some people do. Tom Gleason,
really?
Comedian Tom Gleason, in his last couple of years of shows, has built in like 10 minutes of heckling time, and he's just like, do whatever you want. I'm ready.
That's incredible.
Yeah, right?
That guy's bulletproof, isn't he?
Well, I saw him do it once, and it was like a Sunday afternoon and everyone was too polite to do anything. So the space just expanded out and I contemplated being like, this bit is losing momentum, you dickhead. But I can't do it. He'd find a way to crush me.
He's almost certainly would.
Yeah. Anyway, don't crush our friends, please.
No, please don't.
Let's see their shows.
Yeah, do. Anyway, we'll talk about that a bit later. But Mason, April Fools. Everybody.
You got me.
I did.
You son of a bitch.
The internet websites got turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Fake products were rife.
Google Maps became
Google craps. It's just all crap.
I was going to say Ms. Pac-Man, but
I did it?
Yeah, but it did.
Isn't
but
that already a thing?
It did apparently, but I couldn't get it to work on my phone. So maybe that was the April Fools.
Oh, they got
I spent
us.
Like 20 minutes going, is that the April Fools? Like everybody's in on that it's a fake Ms. Pac-Man and I didn't get a chance to do it.
right, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm unhappy.
Well, one of the real sort of, it's an April Fool's sort of, Rick and Morty live streamed season 3 episode 1.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's great. It's great. Really good. And when I tweeted it out, because like I double checked, I'm like, is this real? Before I tweet this out and look like an idiot. So a lot of people were like, no, this is fake or whatever. No, it's real. It's absolutely real.
Is it still there or is it gone now?
They were streaming it. They were repeating it until midnight, so it would be gone by now. I put up a link on my Twitter. That by the time you hear this, it's probably gone. But it's the internet. It's the
right?
internet.
It's like trying to take pee out of a pool. You can't
you
do
can't.
It.
You can't. There's too much water.
So much water. If you skip the ad, you won't understand
it. You won't get that. That's fine. You don't have to. But no, it's great. It's stronger than ever. Mm-hmm. It's good to have it back.
Right.
And the premiere's in June.
Yeah,
so
right.
Summer of... Northern Hemisphere, Mason.
Hawthorne Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the Game of Thrones teaser? I forgot to bring that.
No.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't care for it, as you know.
Yeah, you don't like the gritty realism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
I understand.
It's too real for me.
Are you going to check out the Rick and Morty episode, though?
Yeah.
You're going to wait till June.
No, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out. There's a Nathan Fillion character I mean, he voices a character. Oh, right. He's not playing himself.
Okay.
Nathan Fillion isn't playing a Nathan Fillion character. I forgot to ask whether you watched this, but Dawn of the War for the Planet of the Apes, Monkey Madness.
Should I watch it now? Watch it now.
Yeah, you can. Look, it's the same kind of stuff.
Okay, then.
But it looks like there's a gorilla working for Woody humans. Harrelson,
oh.
Which is interesting. Yeah.
The actor Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, okay, they cool. cruise the countryside picking fights.
Nice.
But no, it looks as good as it always has. You know, it looks like the war is escalating, humans are dwindling, things are getting desperate, Mason.
Now, as we know,
well,
only you know.
I know.
I just want those astronauts to come back from space.
Get over it, mate.
Is there any sign that the astronauts, who we didn't see, we heard about in the first movie that went into space, are they back?
No sign of it, mate.
God damn it.
Well, I think, I don't know whether they'll do another season. I wonder if they'll do another season one after this, or if this is kind of season done. Because he'd be getting on in ape years, wouldn't he? How long does an ape live?
Are you referring to Andy Serkis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, like an ape, what, lives 40, 50 years max?
Absolutely no idea.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks.
No problem. You just don't know. Sometimes a bloody toucan lives for 150 years.
Is that true?
Know. Some birds do.
You need to know. You got to saw its beak off and you count the rings or blood.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You measure the blood in a cup of your soon-to-be-dead toucan. You count his Fruit Loops.
Right.
You cut open the beak, you count the Fruit Loops.
Did you ever eat Fruit Loops as a kid?
Yeah, I was thinking about getting back into them yesterday.
See, I never did, and then I ate some as an adult. It's fucking inedible. Like, it's real bad.
You're a liar.
You like all the sugary cereals, though.
Yeah.
They're no good. Let me tell you, Mason.
Look, maybe I'm rotting away, sure.
Yeah, but you almost certainly are. Oh, you know for a fact that I make my own muesli? If you're interested, please tweet in and I will talk about it next week.
You should put the recipe in the first issue of the newsletter.
All right, I will.
Yeah.
The Weekly Butt.
The Weekly Butt.
Or The Orbit, which is officially called.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's great. Matt Reeves is doing the Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
At this point, he is. Who knows?
We've got some DC news, but we might save it for a bit down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about the It trailer?
Yeah.
Spooky as all hell, man.
It is spooky,
so
right?
Spooky. Why is it so spooky? I didn't see. Did you ever see the Telly movie?
I've seen the original. Was that a Telly movie?
Yeah, it was a Telly movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I never saw it, so I have no. Like, I actually just started reading the book yesterday. It's a spooky book, and it seems to be pretty.
Stephen King's pretty good.
He's got some spookiness in him, doesn't he? But
did you know that The Running Man is set now?
The movie.
Yes.
this year.
2017, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, or like 2017 to 2019.
Okay,
so
cool.
We're in the era of The Running Man.
Oh, mate.
Seems pretty bloody comparison.
Bloody Trump's America, am I right?
Oh, that's political talk. Anyway,
yeah.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah, cool.
I don't give him enough credit for his massive, insane shared universe.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's right, because it's all connected. And even Dreamcatcher is connected to the It universe. Yeah. You ever seen that one?
No.
Or read that one?
No.
It's madness on both accounts.
Right.
So I'm told. I've only seen the movie.
Mm.
But no, like, I've never, I don't, I'm not spooked by the Pennywise clown. I never cared for it.
What about the new version?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Even though, like, a lot of people I think are complaining about, like, that there's that kind of that long, like, exposed cut where he comes at people.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, you know, save that.
When he's shaking his head and he's all wet.
Yeah.
Real spooky. Don't like it.
Great. Yeah.
No, like, this is something I kind of had very little interest in, but now I think I'm actually going to check it out.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's weird that, did this come out of that weird...
Stranger Things?
No, I was going to say that weird flurry of clown sightings we had for a while.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Do you reckon there's going to be more after this?
Yeah.
I maintain that if you open your door and there's a guy standing in a clown outfit, you can attack that person.
I agree. I absolutely
agree. You 100%
agree.
Because that's a threat.
Yep.
You shouldn't shoot them.
I'm astounded no one was shot
during
the spate of clown sightings.
I just feel like if I open the door and there's somebody standing there, 1 second and I'm on that person.
Yeah,
like,
no, I agree.
Straight away.
Yeah. And they're not supernatural. They'll go down and hit them in the head with a shovel. Let me tell you.
Try running away with your big floppy feet, you can't.
Yeah.
That being said, I'd probably get beaten up. Like, that's how that would go.
Yeah. But just to know you tried fighting that clown.
Absolutely.
So
it's from another dimension, isn't he?
Yes.
Like, he's a spider monster from a dark dimension or whatever.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who knows what he is in this. I wonder if they're going to interconnect the new Stephen King.
Do you reckon they're going to do a Stephen King-averse?
Maybe a King-averse.
What else is in the It-averse, do you know? It's all connected, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess...
Isn't this a dark dimension that's also in the Dark Tower? Was also...
I think even, like, Stand By Me...
I watched that the other night.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. It's great. It's
pretty
such
good,
a good
right?
movie.
Still,
yeah.
I think, Because he connects them through like news reports and things like that, or like I heard a kid one neighborhood, you know, down, he was murdered by a clown or whatever. Like they put them, it's all together like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all it's bloody good.
It's a bloody good time.
Yeah. Speaking of the Running Man, did you know Stephen King gave his alter ego, like his writing alter ego, a tragic backstory?
No, I didn't.
So Stephen King in the, I guess, the '70s.
Like, by the way, guys, sorry about the car alarm if you can hear that.
Sorry, we're breaking into cars while this is happening. I gotta get those AM FM radios. I love them. I hoard them. But so in the '70s, I guess the given wisdom was that you, as an author, you couldn't release more than one book a year.
Mm.
But Stephen King's like, I've got so many ideas.
Boy, does he.
I've got so many things coming out of the dark dimension. And also, I guess he was also like, I want to see if I can sell a book. Like, I want to see if a book will sell if it doesn't have my name on it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So he created Richard Bachman, who was this...
That's right, yeah.
His alter ego, who was in the Marines for a while, and then he had... then he was in the Coast Guard, and then his kid died in a well.
God.
And that's part of his invented tragic backstory.
Right, yeah, yeah. So does he exist in the Stephen King-iverse?
No, but the... Well, maybe he does, because Stephen King exists, I think, in the Stephen
King-iverse.
I think
he does, yeah.
So he must do. But, he dies. Richard Bachman then died after the Richard Bachman books.
Oh.
And then they discovered some lost manuscripts. You can't see, but I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah, I can see it.
You can see it.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they were like, oh, here's some lost manuscripts. So some of the newer Stephen King novels are set in the same universe as the Richard Bachman.
Right, okay, yeah. Averse.
Or they share, no, they're in different universes, but they share some of the same characters.
But aren't
anyway.
They all linked through dimensions anyway?
Yeah, they are, yeah. How good are dimensions?
Even at the start of The Mist, I think Thomas Jane's character was drawing a cover for The Dark Tower?
Yeah, maybe,
is
yeah.
Is that right?
Also, all Stephen King properties are linked together by the fact that all of the protagonists are science fiction fantasy writers who live in New England in quiet towns that harbour dark secrets, except for The Running Man.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What else? What other Stephen King facts do I have? I don't know.
Did he do Shawshank Redemption?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, nice.
He may not have, though. It's very possible that he had.
Yeah, yeah. No, he did, because it's called bloody... What's the name of the woman on the poster?
Betty Davis?
No. It's called Her Name and the Shawshank Redemption.
Okay, right. Okay. Yeah. Great.
Great.
Good work, everybody.
Yeah.
That alarm's still going.
Really?
So I'm not...
It's not annoying me. I'm tuning it out. Should we go and thump cars until it switches
off? I know
off?
I can hear it through the headphones, which means there's a good chance that people can hear that.
Well, it's okay. The car alarms only go for 2 to 4 hours before they switch off for some reason.
Not true. One went out at the front of my house and it played all night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it called a car alarm?
It might be a house alarm. But remember, I called the police and they were like... Sorry, it's funny. We can't do anything about it. And I'm like, that's fucking hilarious.
That's a fun fact about alarms. We, the police, can't do anything about it. We can't investigate them. That's still going.
Yeah. Like, I've got a baby here, but that's fine. Just let that bloody go all night.
Oh, is that a fact now? Do people know
Well,
that?
It's on the website. So,
oh,
yeah.
All right, then.
All the things that happened, like, I had some really significant milestones happen during this show.
Yeah.
And I just kind of...
Couldn't tell anybody about
it. Well, my aim was to kind of continue as is.
Yep.
But I'm tired in a lot of these, and you can tell.
Yeah. Listen, perhaps long-time listeners or people who've listening for the first time who want to go back, if you go back anytime I'm like, hey, James, anything happened to you this week? And you go, nope, that's you getting married, that's you moving house, that's you having a baby.
Yeah, it's like someone's in the hospital. Something's always
it's all
happening.
Stuff you can't talk about.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, man. Oh, it stopped. Turns out opening up about yourself... Stops car alarms.
Oh, yeah, that's the yeah, that's the personal revelation alarm. That's been going for a long time, and it's finally off. It was all in your head, man.
That's it.
Personal revelations. I was just going to say, it's like your life got, like, retconned.
Right, yeah.
Like, you're a swinging single guy, and the numbers were not good. So they're like, oh, just say you're always out of family. It's fine. See how that goes.
So all
right, we can kill them off if it doesn't work.
That doesn't matter, yeah. Nobody's seen all of them.
We can have you have a sad divorce Spider-Man style if it doesn't work for you.
The reason I did want to keep a lot of it quiet is because, I don't know, I don't want people coming to my house and murdering my family.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so if you are listening to this, just leave me alone, yeah? Don't murder me.
I've been hit many times. James's fridge is not big enough to put his whole family in.
No.
That's too dark?
No, that's fine. That's okay. A small apartment fridge. I bought it for that reason, so I'm not tempted. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
To murder your family
and stuff in the fridge. No, so I don't murder them because I know they can't fit in the fridge.
Yeah, good.
Stallone, though, has exited the Expendables franchise.
What?
But apparently it's still moving forward.
But he was the linchpin after Dolph Lundgren.
Lundgren. Just kill it.
Yeah, right?
It's done. It was never good.
It was never good, exactly.
Stop.
Have you only ever seen Expendables 3?
Yeah, I've seen some of
which people say is the best one. And it was absolute garbage.
Especially when you've got Mad Max, you've got John Wick.
Fast and Furious,
even Triple X.
Triple X. They could squeeze one more out of Triple X, I feel.
But like, they've
got to team up Ice Cube and and the man who's an egg.
Yeah, that's right. Egg and a vest.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't offer anything. People don't care about 80s action stars. Like saying their one-liners.
But I feel they should have.
They should but if it was good, then they would. Uh-huh. It's like they brought back Star Wars, people cared because they kind of made an effort to have it, you know, update it.
Because it was just this unironic...
Like bloodless pile of garbage, Or three was,
if
anyway.
If they had some fun with the fact... It didn't even feel like they were having fun on set.
No.
And that came across, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And it got leaked online.
Yeah, also
But also they blamed that for the failings of Expendables 3. But nobody downloaded it. So
that's
like
right,
it didn't matter. Mm. Anyway, Spider-Man.
Oh, that's right. This week, we saw the release of the complete Spider-Man Homecoming. It was like just the Sony just released the whole thing and we all watched Spider-Man Homecoming.
This is Sony in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And I know people are like, well, maybe there's more secrets and whatever, but like, look at the marketing for Guardians.
Yep.
And look at the marketing for Spider-Man. Mm. How much do you know about Guardians? Just from the trailers comparatively.
They fight a big monster at some point.
Yep.
And the fate of the galaxy is at stake.
There's gold people.
Gold people. But how do they connect? We don't know.
Yeah. This is like, it's almost chronological the way that...
Yeah. If
you don't get me wrong. I liked it. I think it looks great, but... Anyway, sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, if you're out there and you haven't... If you're somebody who avoids trailers... Or you haven't seen it yet and you want to know, you don't want to know anything about the film from soup to nuts, then don't watch it because it tells us absolutely everything.
And
about
this is
the
what
film.
They did with The Amazing Spider-Man.
And here we go, I'm going to summarize it.
Okay, good. Yeah, maybe skip this if you want to. But yeah. I do have a trailer breakdown. I'll link that below if you're interested, Mason. I talk all about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's too late for me now, so I guess I'll watch it. It's too late for me not to be spoiled. Thanks, Sony.
I don't think I spoiled any more than they did, though, to be honest.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you've got speculation.
Mine's spec, mate.
Yeah.
Go on, though. What were you saying?
Well, I mean, you know, we see he comes from Civil War and then he meets Tony Stark again in a limo and Tony Stark's not doing anything, blah, 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 blah. And then Tony Stark's like, you're reckless. I'm taking your suit away. And then he has to wear his dumb sweatsuit again. And then...
And then there's a plane.
He saves a cruise ship or whatever.
And then he gets real beat up at a carnival, it looks like. And then he probably gets his suit back because he's
exactly.
He's a
you
hero.
Kind of you cannot take. I could not take the finale seriously if he was wearing the sweats.
Right. I don't know. Like that story to me is a great story that I want to see unfold over the course of 2 hours. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's insane that they would release that. But and also Sony. Have you got anything else about the trailer? If you want to talk about specifically, new Iron Man suit looks good. It all looks good.
Yeah.
They're cutting a ship down the middle. We've never seen that.
Right.
We've never seen. Well, we have now.
Who cut it in half? The Shocker?
Titanic? Yeah, the Shocker. No, the Vulture flies through with a bloody cutting tool.
Oh, he does through that.
Because the other thing is, this isn't in the trailer, but this is in my trailer breakdown list. Check it out. 10 things that you missed, mate. People enjoying how I'm slowly losing my mind making this trailer breakdown.
There is some... You can hear the stress in your voice and the fact that sometimes you just scream, I'm so stressed!
But
why do I have to keep doing these?
But he used to do the damage control job because Tony Stark brings in damage control, which is in the trailer.
Nice.
And makes him... Like, takes him out of the job. But he's got this whole lot of, like, alien tech and Ultron tech that he's just been keeping.
Yeah.
And so now he's going to use that stuff in the movie to do some crimes.
To razz some people.
To razz them up, mate. Yeah, to cut a ship in twain. Mm. So I think that's really cool. But again, I don't need to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
That's too many specifics.
Yeah.
Kind of figuring out how he puts his Vulture stuff together would have been fun.
Exactly. The first trailer was great.
Yeah.
I feel like. It showed us bits and pieces and whatever. Uh-huh. Didn't seem to be a sequential. But what are you doing?
Also, Spidey's got a little drone now.
Yeah.
Bzzz.
chest drone.
Chest drone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
We've yet to see, I think, and maybe it was a red herring, or maybe it was just a... Was it a coincidence that at the end of Civil War, Spidey scratches his... He's scratching his arm.
Oh, yeah, and it's a little hologram.
But I assumed that the scratching was maybe like he's developing web spinnerets or something.
Oh, no, I thought it was just like...
Oh, was it just scratching?
Just itching him, mate.
Okay, all right.
But you see in the trailer also he's got a little holographic map that comes out of that as well, which is cool.
Yep.
There's something else about this.
And a jolly best friend.
Yeah, man. He's from the comics. There was something else from this trailer that... No, the other thing is Tony Stark's like, "You're reckless. What are you doing? I'm taking your suit. The Vulture's your fault."
You put him out of the business, right? Yeah.
But I kind of love that he's completely oblivious to his own failings.
And it's a snowball effect from that time he built Ultron and it nearly destroyed everyone on Earth.
What an idiot.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah, I love him though. Anyway, Sony are also talking about a Venom movie. They set a release date for like late next year. And there's a good chance that this is not going to be connected to everything else. And there's also talk from one of the producers that Sony might now take Spider-Man back. So he's not as part of the Marvel
universe.
That's
right, yeah.
So then they're not going to Marvel for assistance. What are you doing?
Big mistake. Massive mistake.
They should... Look, Sony... I've said this before, like dealing with Sony, like just going to screenings has always been really difficult because they don't they seem to not understand from like a top-down perspective anything that's going on. And I like a lot of the stuff that they put out, but they make it really difficult sometimes, you know what I mean? Yeah, so we're going to get a Venom movie that's not connected to the MCU and then maybe a Silver Sable Black Cat movie.
Right? Yeah.
And then maybe we just won't see Spider-Man at all in the Avengers and whatever. Mm. Fine, if you want to do that, I guess.
Yeah.
If you want to, you know, you bloody, I don't know, man. I don't even know what, who listening would think that's a good idea?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Man, but you know what? Silver Sable Black Cat movie, that's one step closer to my dream, which is a Silvermane movie, which is a movie about minor Spider-Man villain, the robot mob boss, Silvermane.
Is he a horse?
No, he's got silver hair.
Is he actually a robot?
He's a cyborg.
He's got silver hair, you say?
Yeah.
Sounds very relatable to some of us in this room.
Not me. Not me. Black as night, his hair.
I was looking at the footage of me I was telling you before the show, from that live launch, and I'm like, fucking hell, I'm so grey. Yeah. Like, crazy.
Great?
No. Oh. Just grey. And I'm like, should I dye my hair? And it's too late.
No, you did that for a long time.
Yeah, I did.
Don't deny yourself.
Because I feel like if I do it as well, then I'll hit 45 and I'll stop. And people will be like, what happened to you?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel people go grey, we can edit this out, but I feel a lot of people go grey quite early on.
Yeah.
And then they're in denial about it, and so everybody dyes their hair.
Ah.
And so, like, it's fine to go grey in your late 20s or whatever. It's fine.
Thanks,
everybody
Mason.
Does, but they just cover it up.
Oh, man.
And it takes them, like, 10 years to be like, oh, I'm actually
But not
fine.
You.
No.
All the way.
That's right.
Al natural. Anyway, no one cares about that.
I got a silver streak in my beard.
Nice.
It's good.
See, if I had a cool silver streak, that'd be way better. But it's
like
just
Rogue.
But it's just kind of, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Looks like I've been hitting the head with a snowball. Anyway, we got a bunch of Star Wars news. Obi-Wan, this is all rumored.
Yep.
Star Wars Celebration is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks.
Is that a rumor?
No, that's real.
Oh, that's real.
April 4th. No, it's real.
Okay.
This is some stuff that may be revealed at Celebration or may just be some future information that comes up. Okay, so
do you have any insider knowledge here?
No, this is from like makingstarwars.net.au/StarWars. It's actually a good website. That's not it. But if you can find the source of this, it's a good one. So the Obi-Wan film is a go.
Oh.
And they're going to announce it at Star Wars Celebration. They want to stress that it's not a trilogy as rumored, which is a great idea.
Yep.
Just a man kicking sand for three movies. We don't need it because he's probably not going to leave the planet.
There's so much sand. It's in 360.
We've also got, you remember the scrapped Boba Fett movie that Josh Trank was going to do?
Yes.
Apparently that's still happening.
Ooh.
There's the pitch is still viable. It's not going to be
Here's our pitch. It's definitely not going to be Josh Trank.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not promising anything in particular. It's just not Josh Trank.
Hot tip. He's out. It's not going to be an origin story.
Okay.
And it's going to have an ensemble of bounty hunters as opposed to just Boba Fett, which I like a lot.
Quickly, name them all from that novel you read.
4LOM, IG-88, Dr. Something and the other guy.
I would love if they were called Dr. Something and the other guy. Dr. Teeth
Bosk.
From the Muppets movie. Bosk will be there, absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah, all those ones. I definitely didn't get them all. But was going to say, I love that Bounty Hunters book. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if they're going to do a Bounty Hunters movie,
mm-hmm.
don't make it a origin. So,
yep.
And if you're going to do it from Empire Strikes Back up. So maybe even set it when he's Boba Fett's trying to deliver Han Solo.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's other bounty hunters involved.
Yep.
Or you do it when he gets out of the Sarlacc and do it that way.
I would love it if it were not an origin story, but maybe the opening scene is just he's walking out of an alley, like in the Boba Fett suit, and we see the body of the previous Boba Fett, like sliding down the wall.
Very good.
Yeah, and just no explanation. It's just he's replaced the old guy.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Fans.
Yeah. We'll explore the origin later in yet another prequel.
Yeah, that's right.
There's more space. We left a 5-minute gap, so there's room for another movie.
But because that was also the Boba Fett delivering Han Solo.
Mm.
That was the one of the story points of Shadows of the Empire. Uh-huh. The comic in particular. Anyway, there's another Star Wars movie. This one they're calling The Fault in Our Star Wars.
I disagree.
No, sorry. That's the rough kind of, it's not a real title. It's just,
oh, I see, right.
So it's more of a description, I should have said. That's more of an apt,
okay,
whatever I'm talking about.
So this is the cancer movie?
Yes.
Did someone get cancer?
Someone gets hyperspace cancer.
Oh, no.
From too much hyperspace. No, wow. That's what happens when you're doing hyperspace and you put your head out the window.
Oh, no.
That's what happens.
You need some intense parsec treatment. You need parsec therapy.
You got to eat as many as you can or go as many as you can.
Go as many parsecs and then eat as many parsecs as you can. Right.
Yeah. This is going to target the young adult kind of genre. It's going to be a tragedy, a love story, and it's going to have more in common with Han and Leia from Empire than anything else. It's also could be the first Star Wars movie to be written or directed by a woman.
Was so difficult for you to say. You had to really emphasize the man.
I'm against it so much that I couldn't say the words. Mm-hmm. No, whatever. I don't care.
Is this really the first one?
Yeah.
Well, even writing, that's amazing.
Oh, maybe I meant to write directing.
Nah,
I don't know. Really, it's at least directing.
I actually wouldn't be that surprised if it's the first one.
Yeah, yeah. So good, man. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that they're like, we'll do a love story one, we'll give it to a woman.
Isn't it though, yeah.
But hey, whatever, who cares? But
they should give it to Lexi Alexander, director of Punisher Warzone.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're like, do whatever you want.
But there's a book, one of the best new canon Star Wars books is called Lost Stars, and it follows two Imperial cadets where one defects to the Rebels and then they keep intersecting over the course of the Star Wars trilogy.
Oh, that's fun.
It's really good. It's like, it is a young adult novel, but it's, I don't know, it's not your kind of Twilight and whatever. It's actually a really solid story.
Great.
And I'd definitely recommend it if you love to love and watch people fall in love, Mason.
Yeah, I do that.
At the park.
Mostly at the park, through windows, apartments, yeah.
Under beds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All my fave spots.
Yeah, that's it. So, but you know what? Some people are like, why are they doing this one? They're just trying different things, different demographics. They don't all have to be, you know, it's good to get some variety.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of, it's the same with superhero movies.
Yeah.
It's such a huge undertaking. It's a huge universe.
Mm.
Why wouldn't you put in a funny one and a romantic one and a what have you?
And
know?
A sexy one.
A sexy one.
Yeah. Good stuff. Also, after episode 9 or a few years after, Star Wars is going to become like a generational thing and they're going to hold off until...
have to leave it in your will for your children.
That's right. They're going to hold off on the sequel trilogy for quite a while.
Okay.
Maybe not the 20-year gap that they did, or more than that, 40-year gap that they did for 35, whatever, doesn't matter.
Right.
For the last one, but they want to kind of make it where Star Wars is an event. So there's going to be a deliberate pause by Disney because they want to kind of let people kind of crave Star Wars again and then bring it back, which is what I said. Actually, I said that sometime last year. I think that's a great idea because I don't want 2-3 Star Wars movies a year because I get really excited when there's one announced and one coming out. I wouldn't mind like a 5-year or whatever gap.
That is a power move.
Absolutely it is.
Can you imagine just the people at, like, the executive at Disney who's planned that out?
Mm.
Like, as the years pass, just him on this hair trigger, and sales, you know, because invariably some kind of, like, the sales of something in Star Wars is going to drop.
Yeah.
Over time, they're like, we're losing action figure sales here, man. And he's like, nope, we're holding the line.
Yeah.
We're holding the line.
That, absolutely.
Somebody's going to snap. I don't think that is going to work.
I think it absolutely works. And this is why.
Yes.
Because filling that gap is going to be television shows.
I love television shows.
I know, right?
Television is the new movies.
Television is the new what television used to be when it was shitter.
That's
right.
Don't
you think?
Yeah.
It's come a long way. Mm. So I think we're still going to get in the comics. We're going to get a TV show. Maybe we get the occasional standalone movie. I doubt it. But I think there's going to be... I absolutely think they should do a significant gap. Because look at the Star Trek films, right? I've used this example before. They kept doing them and they just got worse and worse. Not even worse. People just stopped watching them until they had to reboot it. Uh-huh. I think you don't want to kind of fatigue people on this thing. You want to make Star Wars like an event. Like it's always been. It was a big deal when the prequel trilogy started. It was a big deal when the new trilogy started. So yeah, that's the way I see it.
I think these are going to have to be phenomenal television shows for me to care on any level.
Interesting.
Yeah, right.
Like a Legion.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about next week. This week.
This week.
April Fool's.
You got everybody. You got them.
Bad news for Firefly and Dollhouse fans, Mason. And I'll tell you why.
Joss Whedon?
Yes. He's going to be directing...
He fell into a well.
Yeah, that's right. He's going to be directing, writing, and producing...
Guys, I've got so many quips down here. I've written so many quips, I can't get a signal.
Throw me down a pad and a pen and a bucket. But
got so many ideas for strong female characters that are very similar to my other strong female characters.
So he's going to be writing, directing, and producing a Batgirl movie for DC.
That's right.
Which is great news, right?
Yeah.
For that, no?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who knows how anything's going to go ever. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a really good, like, it's a good step for DC to get some fresh blood in, but also someone who kind of knows what they're doing.
Right.
As we know, he directed The Avengers, but he didn't just direct it. When he came on board, he threw out the script.
He erected it.
He erected it in a big way. He threw out the script and rewrote it. He was like, this isn't good, so I'm going to fix it. So the reason The Avengers works is because he made it, well, one of the reasons. It's a collaborative process for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then off the back of that, he did Age of Ultron, which he was really unhappy with because there was a lot of pressures for him to kind of repeat the success and there was meddling. Yep. And it's a fine movie. It's okay.
It's pretty okay.
Yeah, that's it. And I think if that hadn't been the first Avengers, it would have been kind of received better. Because I think it's solid, but it is a lot of the same.
What's the best scene in Age of Ultron? I think it's the scene between Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch. And then there's happening, and he's like, but you step out of the door, you're an Avenger. You know that one?
Oh, yeah, that's all right. No, like the Hulkbuster scene.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good too. Yeah. The Hulkbuster smashes everything. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Okay, that's good too.
Yeah, and I like Captain America's fight with Ultron as well. I mean, that shouldn't last very long. Not but he's so American that he could get away with
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think this is really great. What was I going to say? He actually wrote a treatment for Wonder Woman.
Also, I loved Andy Serkis' accent.
Yeah. Do you want some kind of treat? Was that what he did?
Yeah.
He's offering everybody treats.
Have a treat.
Treat yourself. But he wrote...
We have weird candy in Johannesburg.
He wrote a treatment for Wonder Woman about 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Which they scrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was thought initially that the presumption was that this story would be, if they're doing Batgirl, they're going to do the Killing Joke, because that's kind of the most well-known it's like Batgirl story, I guess. Like, it's the most significant in terms of
a character's
history, I suppose.
I'd say throw it in the bin.
Well, that's exactly it, because I feel like this universe has also moved so far along that if that had have happened, it would have happened like 10 years prior or whatever, because, you know, Batman's much older. The Joker's been banging about for quite a while.
And if we get the Killing Joke, we get tragedy and we know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
We know it's going to result in Batgirl being out of action.
Right, yeah.
I don't want Batgirl out of
action.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
I could understand. I think they'd definitely call back to it.
Yeah.
But from what I've heard, the rumor is that it's going to cover the New 52 run by Gail Simone that began in 2011.
Okay.
Not the hipster living the high life version. Though, because it's Joss Whedon, it wouldn't surprise me if he brought in elements of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea is that she's kind of recovered from being shot through the spine and she's still kind of psychologically damaged.
How do you feel about it? I feel we've mentioned that on the podcast before. I feel because after that, she was replaced by Stephanie Brown, who was the next Batgirl.
And you like Stephanie Brown, don't you?
Yeah, but I also think that like there's so few people in wheelchairs in comic books.
Right, yeah.
And I think it was kind of maybe a bad move to reverse that and be like, she was fine. She's fine now.
Right,
She was in physical therapy for 3 months and now she's fine.
I think they used experimental surgery and probably magic. I don't know what they did.
They probably used that magic lady that put Batman back together.
Oh, right.
Remember after Nightfall and they were just like,
oh, okay.
Give him, here's some magic.
They probably used that magic rope from The Dark Knight Rises that put Bruce Wayne's spine back together.
That's true, yeah. They used that magic kick.
That's right.
Just kick a guy's back in.
So So look, I think that's good, though. I think it's good to kind of move past that. And if you're going to tell a Batgirl story, it's an interesting backstory for a movie. Yep. Do you know what I mean? I understand. I completely understand where you're coming from, because she's a really integral part when she's Oracle of that universe. And especially like the Batman, the Arkham games, like a really significant part of that as well. But it's kind of, I think it'll be good to see her kind of Batgirling about in the streets.
I agree,
and having her own thing going on.
A big screen adaptation that wasn't Batman and Robin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, funny you should mention that, because Gail Simone said on Twitter her greatest hope is that Alicia is in the movie. That would mean a lot to so many. Plus, she's fun. She doesn't mean Alicia Silverstone, Mason. I got you. April Fools. I got you. There's a character called Alicia Yeo, who's the first openly transgender character in comics, apparently. Uh-huh. So that's somebody that she wants to put in. How do you think this will be like tonally? What do you think they're going to do with this? Is it going to be like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer kind of vibe? Like, it's got elements of darkness, but it's quips and kicks and jumping about, having a coffee with your pals, kicking a bloody mobster in the head or whatever.
Oh, that's interesting. Good question.
Thank you.
What if it were kind of like, what if it were Portlandia by day?
Right.
And then like Batman v Superman at night. That, I would kind of like that.
Right.
Like, if it was kind of fun and friends and wacky.
Yeah.
And, oh, how weird are hipsters and their cold press coffee or whatever. And then they switch to nighttime and she's just pulping somebody's skull. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Mm. So I don't know. I feel like it's going to sit more kind of Buffy than maybe on the darker side.
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I think maybe Batgirl is where tonally it would. That would work better.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree. But I really like the choice. Like, I don't love everything Joss Whedon's done.
Uh-huh.
I didn't particularly care for Dollhouse, but apparently it gets a lot better.
I'm never going to find out.
Don't know. But yeah, but obviously, like Avengers speaks for itself. Firefly's great. I know you're a big fan of Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great choice. And I feel like it's kind of good for DC to kind of get away from the kind of mold they've kind of put themselves in with the grim and gritty Zack Snyder's everything slow-mo kicking each other in the dark or whatever.
Oh.
Like, I just think it's good to get other creatives in. Like, we've got James Wan doing one now, and maybe if The Flash ever happens, that'll be good.
Yeah,
maybe.
Be good.
Who knows?
That super speed effect's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And Matt Reeves doing Batman, obviously. So I think...
For now,
yeah. I think this is... It's good news on the whole
I love it.
For DC. But I want to talk casting, Mason.
Oh, yes.
I said to you before the show, do you have any casting preferences? And then I said...
And I was like, ask me later.
And then I said, don't worry, I made a list.
Oh, okay, great.
So you don't have to actually think of it.
All right, well, I mean, I think a lot of people have gone, Emma, I think she should be older. If Batman's older, I think Batgirl should be older.
But isn't she like college-aged in the New 52 version? And if she's Commissioner Gordon's daughter? But then if she's been shot through the spine... When did that happen?
Yeah, I think she needs to be...
And if Batman had sex with her, like in the Killing Joke animated movie.
Oh, no.
Did you see that? It's so weird.
Yeah, I don't
care.
It's
real weird.
Yeah.
Here we go. I got some names. Emma Stone.
I don't like... How about Jessica... I'm going to say Jessica Chastain. That's my choice.
Okay, I like that.
If we're going what I assume to be natural redheads.
Sure. Do you reckon it's like when Lex Luthor was being cast? It was like, who's bald?
Who's bald?
Who can be bald?
Who are the bloody chrome domes in the DC universe?
Emma Stone.
Yep.
Emma Watson.
Yeah, all right.
Emma Roberts.
All right.
Emma Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any more Emmas.
Okay.
Yeah. Any of those good?
Nah.
No?
I think they're too young.
Okay, I got more.
And I mean, they're going to cast young, because why would they cast anyone with any acting experience?
What about Alice Eve?
Yeah, okay. That could work.
A little bit older. So you're thinking like early 30s, maybe?
Well, Jessica Chastain's 40.
Yeah. They were talking about her for Poison Ivy, or people pushing her for Poison Ivy, which I think could work as well.
Either of those is fine.
Yeah. She's early 40s. Bruce Wayne's like, what, 45 maybe in this version? Yeah. Yeah, that could. I guess that could work. Evan Rachel Wood, who's from Westworld.
Yep.
I like that a lot.
That's good.
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Way too young.
Yeah, I don't like that either. No. Yeah. She's good as Hit Girl, but no, I think she's actually stepped away for a bit. She was supposed to do Little Mermaid, and she's like, I don't want to do movies at the moment.
That's fair.
So, yeah. Naomi Harris from the Bond franchise.
Oh, she's Moneypenny, right?
She's Moneypenny, yeah.
That could work.
Hayley Atwell.
Okay, but that would be...
A conflict?
That would be a conflict of interest.
But if they're doing anything with her, I don't know if she's coming back in any...
Right.
She's probably still contracted for a bunch of stuff.
Then totally Hayley Atwell. That would be good.
Here's one from Dollhouse fame and also True Lies fame. Elijah Dushku. How do you say that? I don't know.
Yeah, but you nailed that.
Did I? Thank you.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe. What about that?
What's she done lately?
For you? Yeah. Nothing.
Wow. Then she's out.
You know when you broke down the side of the road, she drove past and hit that puddle and splashed you?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. She laughed all the way. Yeah.
Alicia Vikander.
What do you think of that? About that, my husband Rick Fox. They're married. So,
are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They did that College Humor sketch together.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite good. Alicia Vikander.
From
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
She's also the current Tomb Raider.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's some pictures that came out this week. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if that works.
I feel she's too petite.
Right, yeah.
And I know we all grew up on like Batman the Animated Series,
yeah,
where all the men are huge,
yeah,
like brick walls, and all the women are these kind of tiny petite,
yeah,
women. But I think she should be, I don't know,
10 feet tall.
Yeah, 10 feet tall, at least.
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Can't they do that with like mirrors and ropes?
They could, and probably like Hobbit style sets.
Okay, so she's in.
Yeah, she's in.
Okay, cool. Good.
Yeah, great.
I
don't know, I just feel like, because like Batman, like Affleck Batman, he's been doing it for a long time and he's huge.
He's a massive fella.
Make it kind of bigger. I don't
know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Last one I got here is also a redhead. It's Rose Leslie, who you might know as Jon Snow's girlfriend,
the wildling lady.
Which I don't mind that.
Right, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Who's redheaded?
Who's
redheaded? Carrot Top.
Luke McGregor, comedian.
Oh, yeah, comedian Luke McGregger. Yeah, that would work.
Yeah. Have you seen Carrot Top?
My friend Sarah Jones.
Yep, good.
Ventriloquist.
Oh, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw a show.
Yeah,
it's very good. Yeah. Anyone else?
No, that's it. That's everyone we know that's got red hair.
Classic.
If you've got red hair.
Shut up.
Yeah, shut up. You've had it too good for too long. Do other nations have as much redhead hatred as Australia does?
I feel like they do, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
No, be nice to redheads.
If you could.
Do you have any redhead friends, like aside from Sarah Jones, like close friends that you're always like, Ginger, what are you doing? Do you have any of that going on in your life?
Do you? You're a monster.
I got one friend who everybody makes fun of, but he's also bald now, so now they make fun of him for that.
Good.
He's a lovely guy. His name's Dave.
Oh, yeah.
He's waiting outside.
Ah, Ginger then Bald Dave, they
Ginger
call
then Bald Dave. Yeah. Anyway, Batgirl, very excited.
Mm.
Look forward to it in 5 to 7 years, who knows?
Yep.
It hasn't been officially announced, but it did come through Variety, so it's probably true.
Okay.
Good to see Joss Whedon burning some bridges, jumping ship.
Yeah, right.
Getting on board something else.
Well, how many more could he do?
Exactly. He was done. He didn't want to do any more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's no way he could, even if the next one lives up to the quality of Avengers or whatever.
Yeah.
Then, I don't know.
Shut up.
Yeah, shut up, exactly.
Okay.
You seem ginge and bald, Joss Whedon. Shut up.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of s***, mother f***. Or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nix, Magnolia,
cotton, and so many more. Now, you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Mason, before we get into what we're talking about, oh God, we're real far into this episode.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll just breeze through it.
Jordan Peele's going to maybe do Akira.
Oh, that's fun. Okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good.
Sounds really good.
I don't disagree. All right. Well, look, so I said the Akira thing because that leads into either Ghost in the Shell, or if you want to do a real hard segue, we can do Legion first. What do you want to do?
Oh, should we do the handbrake turn in the Legion?
Sure. Yeah. Okay, sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
No spoilers to start with. Minor spoilers, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, if you don't really want to know anything, it's probably best to go in not hearing this. But we'll try to keep it as spoiler-free as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll say spoilers and talk about some
spoilers. Spoilers,
yeah. Absolutely. 8 episodes. They came to FX.
Perfect number of episodes, I believe, in your opinion.
Oh, totally. Mm. I really... I had no interest in this because I watched the promos. I'm like, this looks weird and crap.
And also I kind of felt like, well, it's not the Legion from the comic books because it's, you know.
Right, yeah,
his
yeah.
I'm like, his powers are, I was like, oh, he's kind of vague. Oh, he's got telekinesis and telepathy.
Yeah.
That's not what Legion's about. I don't know about this. Why are they even bothering calling it Legion? Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I went on like that for several hours.
But then also it being from the creator of Fargo. I was like, yeah, well, there's probably something to this. So I just kind of avoided the promo stuff.
And also there's some people who were in Fargo who are just
in
this as well. Apparently they were all just like, you're doing another thing? I'm into this thing.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. What year is it set?
Because there aren't any like cell phones or anything like
No, but it's also, there's a bit of modern technology.
Yeah.
And I think also because so much of it is like, it screws with the perception of reality and time that I don't even know that everything being seen is what's really there.
I think that's true. I think obviously they went in this with the idea that he's an unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
But I think also the additional wrinkle to that is that he could be altering reality around him.
Yes.
So, you know, the fact that some of the cars are, you know, sort of 1930s or 50s vintage, or that some people wear, you know, outdated clothes, or Ptolemy's carrying a bloody Tommy gun or what have you.
Right,
or
yeah,
a
yeah.
Luger kind of thing. Like maybe he's, I mean, you know, this is me building my own reality to this show.
Sure.
But potentially he could be altering all these elements in the world and nobody has noticed.
Yeah, right.
Because as far as they know, that it's normal.
It's that whatever effect, Mandela effect. Sort of.
It is the Mandela effect, yes.
I knew it. The Nelson Mandela effect. That's what it's about.
It's actually about Nelson Mandela.
Is it really?
Yeah. The idea behind...
Oh, that's right. We've talked about
it. But the idea that... The premise is that the guy who thought of this idea... We didn't come up with a concept, but the guy was like... He was always under the impression that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 80s.
Right, yeah.
And he asked all his friends, when did Nelson Mandela die? And they were like, in prison in the 80s. But he didn't. He died like 20...
He was president.
He died in like 2013.
Yeah.
But it's because your brain goes, okay, well, Nelson Mandela is dead and he was in prison in the 80s.
Yeah.
And that's all you really know, so you combine the two.
But there's a theory that it's actually, there's been significant or slight changes in reality and time. So people have different memories. Like the spelling of Fruit Loops. Like how you tell how old a toucan is. Some people think you have to cut its beak off. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those.
Yep.
And count the Fruit Loops, as
that's
you said.
Right, yes.
Or the cup of blood. Mm-hmm. But there's other ones. Anyway, you wouldn't really know going into this is an X-Men property until the end of the first episode.
I agreed, yeah. Which they even say mutant in the first episode?
Maybe they don't, but there's just the X symbol at the end, which I think is really cool. I would have loved to go into this not knowing this was
X-Men right?
related. Not that it made it any worse.
Uh-huh.
But no, it's one of those things where...
But imagine going to like a Comic-Con or something like that, and they're like, we're going to show you an episode of something.
Yeah.
And then at the end you're like, X-Men property. Whoa! Everything's floating.
I think nerds would be nerds. Just anybody there would be upset for a lot of it to be like, what is this? Boo!
Oh, right.
Or maybe people would twig along the way.
Well, I was going to say, like, this is, as opposed to some of the Netflix stuff we've seen recently, this is quite dense.
Yes.
Like, there's a lot of dialogue and there's a lot of concepts. You can't tune out of this, I feel.
No, you really can't.
With some of the Netflix stuff, like, again, there's too many episodes and there's a lot of padding.
Yeah, that's
right. You can just come back and forth and it won't really make any difference.
That's it, exactly. You really got to watch it intently. Mm-hmm. Listen to the dialogues because there's hints and clues along the way about what's going on.
Watch the trippy visuals.
Yes, please
What
do.
Were they bloody on when they were making this
Having
show,
a bit of
I
the
wonder.
Bloody wacky tobacco, mate.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, good Lord. It's got a lot of spooky imagery.
A lot of spooky imagery.
Which I'm all about.
Maybe does it 100% hold up? We can talk about it later, but I feel there's one particular effect
always.
That doesn't really hold up.
Yeah. But I think it's also kind of adds to the charm of it. Because it also sometimes feels like a show that was made in the 80s.
Yeah, right.
Or like in the early 90s, like a kind of like a Twin Peaks kind of thing almost. Like,
yeah.
Not that I've really ever seen Twin Peaks, but I'd imagine that's kind of what it looks like. I also like that all the mutants aren't just... There's the one that shoots fire, and there's the one that shoots electricity, and then there's the one that shoots ice or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I like that. And so the powers are like two people inhabit the same body.
Yep.
One can go into your mind,
go
into your memories and whatever. Uh-huh. Like one can switch bodies and stuff. It's cool, man.
It kind of felt like with Logan, it felt kind of smaller scale.
Yeah.
Like when we saw Logan, I'm like, potentially in this version of the X-Men universe, these are all kind of all the powers there are.
Right.
Like, you know, Professor X doesn't really do that much. Like, he has kind of freakouts and causes some damage. Maybe that's all he could ever do in this universe.
Right,
Maybe he could just read surface thoughts. Maybe he couldn't possess every power in the world, you know, kind of thing.
Sure. We don't know. We'll never know. Yeah. Right.
But this felt, I like the vagueness and I like the idea that maybe these are all the maybe all the mutant powers in this universe are kind of to do with minds and illusions and memory.
I also liked that, which I don't normally like in a show, the mystery.
Also, guys who can throw big rocks.
Yeah, that's right.
They can do that too.
But like the mysteries, kind of they play a lot of their cards really close to their chest for a lot of these episodes. They drop a lot of hints, but nothing's really concrete. But it unfolds at a rate that's not frustrating. It's not like, what is going on? This is really irritating.
Yep.
It's just builds on the intrigue, but then it answers all of those questions.
Yeah.
Well, most of them, at kind of as it goes. And not even like the last episode. You find out two or three episodes in what's really going on with his powers and whatever and who the villain is and whatnot.
Which is an interest. Well, we'll get to the villain later, but it's an interesting villain that I am actually amazed has never come up in an X-Men property before.
Sure. And ruined.
Yeah, and ruined, exactly right, yeah.
I feel like a lot, like, I wouldn't even say the special effects in this, they're more kind of quaint than mind-blowing.
I think, I think I said after the first episode, they did kind of feel sort of Mutant X-y.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if these are going to hold up, but I think the rest of the visuals definitely sort of compensated for that.
Very engaging.
Very engaging.
Are you talking about that one-shot kind of run-through battle sequence?
Yes, I am.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, I think if you put that on a... Like, that wouldn't hold up in a movie, obviously. People would be like, that was a real shitty kind of thing. But it's not what the show's kind of about.
No,
you know
that's
what I mean?
True, yeah.
Which is totally okay. I do enjoy, like, the way they play with the timeline and jumping back and forth and visiting memories and altering memories and all that kind of thing. But I don't... We should spoil some stuff and also move this along.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you mind? Because we also got to talk about that other thing that we're talking about.
Hey, guys, if you haven't seen it, best TV series ever.
Totally.
Probably.
I would say that I didn't find the eighth episode... I didn't love the finale. I liked it, but I wasn't... I wouldn't marry it, Mason.
Now, did you not love it because... wait, are we in spoilers yet?
Sure, yeah.
Did you not love it because it put... Legion, I'll call him David.
Sure.
Sort of back in peril again.
Yeah, a little. No, not even that. It was, I think that in itself would have worked, but I feel like the Shadow King just kind of, he just walks away. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it was just kind of, he just jumped from body to body and then he walked away. Another thing. Yes. So he's got Flight of the Conchords in his mind, right?
Yes.
The character.
Yes.
But he comes out as a fully formed person. Is that how it works?
Wait, what?
Are you up to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the guy who, though, so when that guy died or disappeared, he went into David's mind, right?
Yes.
He's the husband of the head of the agency, whose name I can't remember. And then he's released.
Yes.
But he's just back as a fully fleshed out person. So did David like manifest him? Like did
because he's in Jermaine Clement's body now.
But he was always in Jermaine Clement's body. He was Jermaine Clement's the whole time. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
He was Jermaine Clement's and then he went in his mind and he was Jermaine Clement's and then he came out and he was still Jermaine Clement's. But when the Shadow King came out, he had to jump body to body.
Correct.
So I guess the Shadow King's body was destroyed.
Is that the idea? Yeah. Look, in the comic books, the Shadow King has no body. Mm. So he's an extra.
Oh, that's sad. Nobody that loves him?
Correct.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
The song. So he's an extra dimensional being.
Yeah.
And like an element of him comes into the real world and sort of finds a body if he wants to manifest in the real world. And that body will slowly disintegrate.
So the idea is that David can put whole people in his mind and then take them out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right.
So David in the comic books, he can take a person's entire sort of personality and memories and sort of put it in. So many of his, in the comic books, he has multiple personalities. Each of them has a different power.
Yeah.
Many of those are real people or were at some point.
Right.
Who died near him and he absorbed their personality.
Gotcha. Mm. And that's what I remember you saying, and I thought the same thing after you said that Parks and Rec,
who's Aubrey Plaza,
was somebody.
Now let's just refer to him. There's other things they've been in. Several of them are going to be called Fargo.
Yep, David will be known as Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
But she was also somebody who died and then he absorbed.
Yes,
which didn't turn out to be the case. No. That was a classic misdirect,
classic blunder.
Yeah.
From this guy.
So no, I don't think that's a blunder. I think that was very intentional by them to throw off even people who knew the material.
Right.
In a really cool way, and everything like. His childhood dog wasn't real.
Yeah, right.
There was a weird bobble.
But it was called King, which kind of...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a weird... Yeah, like just like Sherlock had a fake mind dog that was really something else.
Yeah.
There was also a bobble-headed boy that would spook him.
The most angry boy in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did his parents really read him that book? Or was that an altered memory?
I think that was an altered memory.
Why did he even do that one?
Just to mess with him.
Yeah, I guess.
This guy's a real prick.
Yeah, he's a prick.
Shadow King's a real prick.
And his regular form is like a spooky jelly bean man.
Which, again, that's the effect I was talking about.
In general, you don't like it?
I think it worked a lot better when we didn't see it in full. It's
right,
one of those
things.
But when we go to sort of the white room and we see him chasing Sid around, I'm like, it's not scary at all anymore.
Is that Aubrey Plaza in that suit? I'd love to know.
Oh, what if it was?
I'd say there's a very good chance that it is.
Well, it's TV.
Yeah.
So I don't have the budget for so many doubles.
That's exactly it.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't know. It felt like a bit of a letdown that he just kind of got away the way that he did, I guess.
But I think the idea definitely is that, he's going to be back, obviously.
Yeah, totally.
But also
that
the show creator was like, if we leave on a happy note, Legion is... He's no longer in peril.
Yeah,
want that to be. We want at least another season.
Yeah, I get it. So. And maybe it's just my expectations were too high because the show was so good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Look, that's not to say I didn't enjoy it. Like I said, what do you think the story was? I should have asked you that.
No.
The end. So he gets sucked into a weird little orb and then he flies off.
Uh huh.
I had to look up. I'm like, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
And
what do you think it is?
One of the theories was the Mojoverse.
Wow, potentially. All right.
I mean, it could, you don't like, this feels like the kind of show where, there could be an alien civilization that's...
Again, I think it might depend on what properties they're allowed to use. It might be Weapon X.
Right, okay.
Because we see, Logan and Wolverine and it's that Weapon X is kind of this dirty bunker filled with syringes and tubes full of adamantium and everything's dirty for some reason.
I love it.
Leaking oil and it's under a... mountain or whatever, but like the Weapon X in the comic books, especially over the last few years, is like super advanced and they're raising Weapon X projects in a completely artificial reality that bends time and space kind of thing.
Okay,
so I my money is a kind of if they have Weapon X, my money's up it being some variant of that.
Cool,
and they've gotten this drone technology that can.
Scoop you right up.
Shrink you or vacuum you up somehow.
It's like a Mike TV Charlie in the Chocolate Factory situation,
oh,
isn't
no.
it?
No.
I don't know. But
imagine being in the Chocolate Factory, but also you have massive mutant powers and there's something wrong with your mind. Oh, that'd be very chaotic.
Wouldn't it just? What am I going to say? I don't even know. What else do we say? The Shadow King. Okay, I really liked that reveal.
Yep.
It was, some people kind of picked it early on.
Okay.
But I still love the way it was kind of, because I think even if you did pick it, like I said, there's enough kind of red herrings and like multiple characters that he was kind of portraying that you wouldn't necessarily see it coming. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, because there's a bit where the flashes back where his sister meets the Shadow King when he's a guy, because it was Benny. Uh-huh. So does that mean that he can also project himself so other people can see
whatever he wants him to see?
Yeah. Like I'm presuming because he's piggybacking off the back of David's powers, that's probably something that he can do also.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I wasn't sure whether other people can see him in the real world, is what I'm saying. But I think that is the case.
Yeah, I
if he wants
sure.
them to.
Initially, I'm like, well, maybe they're two different bodies he's used in the past.
Okay.
But then Lenny and Benny wear the same clothes.
Mm.
So I think maybe it's an illusion of some sort.
But then people can't see the dog. Do you know what I mean?
That's
so
true, yeah.
It must be. Because I feel like, I'm sure there was an episode where the sister met him.
Yeah, because she goes to visit David and they're on drugs.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, it's Benny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay.
Who knows? He's got so many powers.
Too many layers.
A lot of layers.
Anything else?
Nothing. Good performances.
Yep.
Like everybody. I like Carrie and Kerry.
Who's that?
The two.
Oh, yeah, cool. I thought that was an actor's name. You know, Carrie and Kennelly.
Yeah, Carrie and Kelly. Yeah. I like Kellyanne Conway. You know, Trump's communications manager. I love her.
I was going to say, who's the woman who hosts the morning show in Australia?
Kerri-Anne Kennelly.
Kerri-Anne Kennelly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Couldn't think of it.
Don't we all?
Botched it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm absolutely looking forward
Let
to
me
next
think.
Season.
Good performances.
He got to use his British accent.
That's true, yeah.
That was a sequence I really enjoyed where they explained the backstory of the Shadow King using whiteboards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry, blackboards. Mm-hmm. Which I thought that was really fantastic.
I like the fact that not everything was a hologram and a...
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything was super tech kind
I of I do
thing.
Love a blue hologram though, Mason.
Oh, yeah.
Like a spinning orb with the time on it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. What else? Action was fine.
Yeah.
I didn't love it, but again, it's not...
It doesn't
that's
matter.
That's not the show. It's more a show about kind of... It's kind of also a show about mental illness.
Yeah.
In a way that Iron Fist... ham-fistedly attempted to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this, it was like, what are the actual repercussions of being mentally ill and people thinking you are when you're not and
all
that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But Iron Fist was just like, I'm not crazy, even though everything I do seems crazy. I'm going to punch my way out of this hospital.
I can't. Yeah. Oh, wait, I can!
Yay! pretty good. What else? That being said, speaking of mental illness, did you buy the episode where they're all... The Shadow King has convinced them all that they're institutionalized.
Did I think that was real?
No, but I mean, what I guess my question is if they'd done, I feel if they'd done that episode earlier on,
yeah,
we as an audience might have bought that everything else was an hallucination.
Sure,
or,
yeah, yeah.
Too far in,
I don't think that was the idea.
That wasn't the intention?
Yeah, I'd imagine, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Mm. But no, there was never a point. I think even if that episode was kind of up top, because even at the start, I'm like, it was a bit unsettling. The way the hospital was set up, it didn't feel right.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I always kind of had that sense that there's obviously something else going on here.
Yep.
Yeah. And I love how they've just, everybody's like, the government agency grab him and just tell him that he's crazy.
Yeah, right.
It's really, but they're also deeply terrified of him.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, which I really enjoyed. Yeah. Mm. And there was that weird cloudy-eyed guy.
Yeah.
Cloudy-eyed
McGee. The real Dr. Steve Brule kind of character.
Yeah. He got real mashed up, didn't he?
Yeah.
Good on him.
That's about it.
That's about it.
I looked it up. The Professor X wheelchair that they use.
Yeah.
It's from Apocalypse.
So it could actually... That was going to be a question. So it could be connected.
Apparently they're all different wheelchairs.
Yes, in different movies. Yeah. No, actually, I think the one in... I think it's Days of Future Past is the same as the original X-Men.
Oh, great.
Maybe. Or one of them's the same.
Anyway, so this is set in the Apocalypse universe. Just kidding. I hope it isn't. I really hope it isn't.
It doesn't matter because it can be altered.
And also, I think this. I think it's just the. Because they were like, we had the choice of all of them. I literally think it was the closest one. Mm. Like, I reckon there's a Fox lot.
Yeah.
There's a storage locker, and it's just got all of them together.
Yep.
And they just pulled the first one out.
Yeah, probably.
And people have read into it. They're like, it's the closest one to the door. Otherwise, I'd have to step over all the other wheelchairs. So
I think the first one also was auctioned off, and they had to borrow it back for whatever movie back for as well. Huh. Yeah. I think you're right, though.
But yeah, this is a completely standalone universe, I really hope.
Yeah.
Because... And also, this is a universe where people are only just sort of understanding what mutants are.
Yeah.
And so to be...
It's not a hot topic.
No, and to say it's...
But also, what year is it?
Yeah. And to say it's also in the universe where everybody has just seen a gigantic storms of metal spinning around and millions of people dying.
Yeah.
It's not... Doesn't work.
Good movie, though.
Yeah. Yeah, real good.
All right.
One of my faves.
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah, let's hard left turn back into this.
What did you think the story was? I forgot.
Oh, okay, the story. Okay, there's a lady, Scarlett Johansson, and she was in an accident or something, and now she's in a robot body, and she's a ghost in the shell. Dum-dum. Anyway.
Japanese imagery.
Yep.
Plenty of that.
Pretty good.
That was a great summation.
Thank you.
I could have done it better, if I'm honest.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Put it in your bloody video.
Did you see the supercut somebody did of you describing what the story is?
I have not dared to click it yet.
It's very good. It's on my Twitter. Thank you to that guy's name I don't have in front of me. Very cool. So it's in the future, but it's also kind of the 80s future.
I think they nailed that 80s future aesthetic.
That is one thing about this movie that I really, really enjoyed.
Yes.
Was the universe itself. Just very visually arresting. If you love a big hologram of a fish swimming around a building, you're in bloody luck, mate.
If you love a car that looks like a Ferrari DeLorean. From the 80s, but it's got more blocky stuff on it.
You're in luck, mate. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That being said, it's okay.
This movie?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's great.
I enjoyed it a lot more. I enjoyed it, I think, as much as I thought I was going to.
Because you said that it's probably better than the 90s movie because that's a real boring slow
one. I know that's heresy.
Nah, it's fine.
But I loved it at the time. I saw it on the big screen in like 1990 or whenever I saw it.
95.
Was it?
I don't know. Yes.
Yeah. And I loved it at that time, but having rewatched it, it's kind of stilted. The voice acting's no good. I mean, maybe that's because I've only ever seen the dub version.
Yeah, maybe you need to see the other
subbed version.
Ooh, very good.
Sub v dub.
Yes.
Send us your thoughts, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
But so you enjoyed it enough. It is 95, I should say. It was 95. Have you read the original manga?
The manga? I have not, no.
I think it's actually called anime, just to be clear.
We'll get emails.
God, I'm April Fools, everybody. April Fools. Yeah. But I feel like everybody's kind of well-ish cast. I particularly liked the other cop with the little
Saito.
Eyes.
Yep.
Like, dead on.
Yeah, right?
Real good, yeah. Uh-huh. Liked him a lot. But I just feel like, and I don't know whether this was intentional, I felt a real disconnect from, like, the movie and the characters. And I know that's also the idea that, like, Scarlett Johansson's the major, as she called in this... does have that, there's supposed to be this disconnect between her and everybody else because she's just a brain in a robot body and she doesn't feel anything.
Yep.
But me, I didn't kind of have any attachment to her or really much else that was going on in this movie. There's a few kind of scenes where they delve into her past, which kind of brings that back a little bit.
Yeah,
But on the whole, for this movie, it very much felt like I was just watching a movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's not a great... criticism or I don't even know what I'm exactly trying to say, but yeah, if that makes sense on any level, Mason, you're welcome. Did you think she was good though?
Yeah, I thought her performance was pretty solid. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird. I thought the action would be a little bit better than what it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty stock for a lot of it. No, that's not true. Like there's the bit in the water, which was quite good. And
yeah. Cause that is a sort of a frame by frame recreation of the animated version. Yeah.
But I'm there cause I have seen the original, but I don't really remember it, but I know at the end that like there's a spider tank and I'm like, whoa, that's gonna be great.
Yeah.
And it was a bit flat.
Yeah.
And there was that weird CGI bounce that she does.
Yeah. That's true.
Above the building.
I think all the action early on was a lot better.
Mm.
And I think that's maybe because they had more anime stuff to draw on.
Potentially.
Like the middle act, I feel like had the most original content in it.
Right.
And when I say original, maybe some of that's from the animated series. I don't know. We know that the geisha crab woman. Yeah. That's from the anime. That's right. From Standalone Complex. Which okay, is cool. The anime. But like some of the more original stuff, as it strayed, I think the action got a little worse. But again, the stuff, you know, the riverside fight was great.
Yes. Yep.
The chase and the initial part where she drops down the skyscraper and she busts in and she shoots everybody.
Very good stuff.
Very
yeah.
good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of practical, like they built a lot of robots and what, like they built the geishas and all that kind of thing.
Courting disaster, building some killer robots.
But no, I, but that's the thing. On the whole, I think it's just a kind of, it's a competently made adaption or adaptation depending on depending on how you say it. But I feel like maybe you would enjoy this more if you're a big fan of the original.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'd hate it.
Maybe you'd hate it. That's
the
thing,
so
right?
It's kind of, I'm not sure, in particular, you know, what way that would go. I wouldn't even say, we didn't even get really a lot of feedback for this. I'll read a couple of tweets later, uh-huh. but yeah, I think, I don't know, do you think this is the kind of thing that will lead to more of this?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't think this is the one. I think, as you mentioned earlier, Jordan Peele, if he's going to direct Akira, I think that's going to be it.
I've seen Get Out, right?
Yeah.
It's great. It's really good. But I feel like it's one of those things where directors probably shouldn't do a small indie movie and then make a $200 million
right,
film.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like Jurassic World and whatever came before that. I can't remember. The guy did Safety Not Guaranteed, the time travel
one,
which is great. Mm-hmm. And Jurassic World's fine. But again, Jurassic World could have been filmed by anybody.
That's true.
I just feel like you should kind of do your in-between movies. Like Spielberg made like Duel. And then he did like Raiders, he did like Jaws and Raiders and E.T. And they kind of built, you see the progression.
That's true. But at the same time, Jon Favreau did Swingers and Maid and then he did Iron Man.
He did Zathura in between.
He did Zathura in between. You are correct.
I got you.
You got me.
Yeah.
You got me with the Zathura clause.
But I think there is something to studios taking indie directors. Uh-huh. And then, because they're like, oh, well, people loved Kings of Summer. Because the guy did Kings of Summer did a big thing recently. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what. And it was okay. What was it? I don't remember. I'm going to look into that right now.
You should do it.
Kings of Summer. Kings of Summer's a great movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. It's like a Stand By Me for the modern era.
Ooh.
Why is this Googling taking so long? I got my VPN on, that's why.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Oh, did you like the fact that they renamed the character? Scarlett Johansson's character.
Yeah, I understand it. I mean, is that...
I thought that was a funny attempt at a loophole.
Well, that's the thing, because they kind of... Oh, he did Kong Skull Island.
There you go.
Big jump. Yep. And that's okay.
It's pretty
yeah,
good.
Anyway.
Yeah,
anyway.
But again, anyone could have directed that, I feel.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe we should talk more about her race in spoilers, because it does factor into the actual story. They're built...
That's true,
They're built kind of a fail-safe.
They did, we'll talk about the safety valve, and if whether it worked or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I don't really have anything else to say about the movie on the non-spoiler side of things. I guess they could probably do a sequel, but I don't really care. Because there's more material to kind of build off from.
Look, I had a pretty good time with this. I enjoyed it, ultimately. I liked the world. Action was pretty good. I liked the fact that they brought in... The legendary Beat Takeshi as the head of Section 9.
Right, yeah. He was good.
I feel that was also another safety valve.
Oh, right,
They're like, you know, this guy. Remember this guy, he likes it.
Is that line that he says, don't send a rabbit to kill a fox, is that from the anime?
I don't know.
That's a great line.
Yeah,
He's not really in it that much?
Yeah, I feel that's more original content. Or it's in the anime, or it's in the
manga.
No! It's in the cartoon, I don't know.
Anyway, I guess.
Not an expert.
Look, it's a best movie ever because it's not terrible.
I agree. Yeah.
It's completely watchable. Yeah, it's fine.
I'd watch another one if it were weirder. I think.
Yeah, it could have been weirder.
If the sequel got a lot weirder,
it did feel a bit bloodless and like the violence was a bit kind of muted.
Yeah,
yeah. Because look, she is a robot, so obviously you're not going to get like their arm torn off and like blood's flying everywhere, but. It did feel a bit kind of like the impacts weren't really that heavy.
Yeah, I also thought it was... I remember the original anime being more impactful.
Yeah.
Like, again, we've seen in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler, where she fights the guy in the sort of the river.
Yes.
And I remember her just breaking his arm. And I don't think we... Like, and it's quite graphic, but I don't think we see that in the movie.
Cool.
So I think they toned it down a little, yeah.
Oh, I forgot to ask. What did you think of the invisible effect? Because I know you hate it. It's not great, is it?
And it never gets any better.
No.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
But it worked better in the sense of, like, we see a guy with the invisibility cloak and he's just running down the street.
Yeah.
And it sort of works and sort of doesn't. Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's how it would work.
It's almost like they did it that way intentionally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I reckon they did.
Oh.
Yeah.
You reckon they did?
I reckon.
Best movie ever from you, though?
Yeah. That was okay. I had a good fun time.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're going to head back into the cinema and check it out?
What, again?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, good.
All right, good.
Okay, spoilers.
Yep.
Race!
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm sick
actually, before we do that, you know, you were saying, oh, you remember the spider tank and it's all kind of a, you know, letdown ultimately. The thing that let me down the most is that Saito, who's the sidekick, he never says, hey, sorry, I'm late. I have this really big gun. I was late because I had to go and get it. Which is
That's very good, yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't say that. I thought it would be nice.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
Very good. Anyway, race. Hollywood, stop making this kind of thing so I have to talk about race.
When, again, as we talked about an Iron Fist last week or the week before or whenever it was, I still haven't finished it.
Yep.
We're not qualified to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it. Stop making me talk about it.
What I should have said with the Iron Fist last time we talked about it is they should have made a new character. There was no reason. They didn't need Iron Fist.
Right, yeah.
They could have just used Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Master of Kung Fu.
Or like I said, you use the previous Iron Fist.
Yeah. But I guess the idea being that Shang-Chi doesn't have a gimmick.
Yeah.
He's just a guy who's good at Kung Fu.
Also, he's not as popular.
That's true. But also that, yeah, but that's because they haven't pushed him.
Yeah.
That, like, I guess he doesn't have a gimmick like an Iron Fist and another thing.
That's absolutely true. But like you also said, they dodged it. They should have addressed it like when he's like, your punches are like lace curtains or whatever.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Somebody should have said,
what are you doing?
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so they really just did not address it at all, which I think is worse than having other characters make fun of him.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
anyway, I just feel like, because this movie built in...
Damn, but I had another thought about Iron Fist. Give me 2 seconds and I'll think
Mason, we got to go to a comedy show.
Oh yeah, we do have to go to a comedy show. We've got heaps of time. We've got an hour and a half.
Okay, good.
We're going to see Dugo on everyone.
We are. What time is it?
It's 3:45.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Some stuff. Iron Fist, new character. He's a bit of a whiner.
I thought you were going to say he's a bit of a wanker, man.
He's a bit of a wiener. He's a real wiener. Nah, it's fine.
If it comes back, just
I'll
jump
just shout
in.
It like I did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, so basically the way they kind of get around the race thing is that she was a Japanese woman.
Yes.
And they put her mind in the body of a robot that looks like Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Which I thought was interesting.
But it also implies that that's a better version.
Well, they are.
That a white person is better to be a robot than an Asian person.
No,
I don't think they did.
But they did keep telling her.
You can certainly construe that.
Yeah, totally. But they did keep telling her that she's the best version of whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like it was a bit of a clever get around. But I just feel like and also the character herself from the anime or manga.
Yes.
The original manga. She doesn't look particularly Japanese.
Well, that's the assumption. I guess that's an incorrect assumption that in anime, because everybody has the big eyes, that everybody just assumes they're white.
Right.
Mm. But her name's Motoko Kusanagi.
Yeah, well, so, that is also true, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
I guess you could say in a weird 80s future, like a lot of nationality, like well, names. That's also to do with nationality weird.
It's like, interchangeable. It's like with your Blade Runner and your Firefly. Like
Saito's white.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody
exactly.
says anything.
That's right. Exactly.
We don't know what we're talking about.
We don't know what we're talking about, but we're going to talk about it more.
But it's just weird.
Yeah. Look, and like you said, when she was originally cast, it's strange that there's nobody in Hollywood like a big enough Asian actor who could have been considered for it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's the same way that people like Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, wasn't pushed. The same way that why isn't there a prominent Asian actor? And there are, obviously, but like to me, nobody springs to mind. I'm not like, Michelle Yeoh, I guess. Do you know what I mean? There's not.
The lady from bloody Iron Fist.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Colleen Wing.
But you know, they wanted this to be a high-profile movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they went with Scarlett Johansson.
Did you know that when Marvel did their deal with Paramount to save themselves from bankruptcy and you know, attempt to build Marvel Studios, a thing that worked, one of the properties, they had to go, okay, we're gonna give you all these, they went to the bank and they're like, we have all these properties.
Yeah.
And if this fails, you get to own them, basically. We'll give them up as capital. So it was Iron Man and, you know, Avengers
Captain
and what
America
have you.
Whatnot,
but one of them's Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu.
Really?
For which they've done nothing. since then? I don't
know. Just sitting on it.
So are they saving up for a movie or what?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's so good at kung fu.
So he says.
That's the other thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
If you just, because Iron Fist has a gimmick.
Yeah.
If you don't have him have a gimmick, he actually has to be good at kung fu.
That's very true.
So if, they made it Shang-Chi, they'd actually have to get people who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
So that's the issue.
Well, I'm glad they didn't.
A lot of people have recommended to me this week, I don't know if they've recommended to you, the show Into the Badlands.
I had a Twitter question about that. But yeah.
So we'll get to it in a
we'll
minute.
We'll get to it in a minute.
Nice.
Anyway, I liked the scene with her mother. I felt that was the one kind of human
that
connection.
That felt genuine, yeah.
And again, I know there is supposed to be that disconnect because she's a robot woman or whatever. But yeah, on the whole, it's whatever. And those are all the things I have to say about spoilers and race.
Love it.
Stop making me talk about it.
Okay. What's next?
Well, you know what it's time for then? Oh, wait, no, it's time for me to read some Twitter reviews.
Yes.
Jai says, Ghost in the Shell is a fantastic retelling adapted to the perfect medium. Char de Ruff. I don't know what that means.
What does it say?
Char de Ruff? C-H-A-R space D-E-V space Ruff.
No idea.
Is that a,
it's got to be a typo.
Typo,
right?
Yeah. Best movie ever.
Or some sort of movie technique that we don't understand.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be. Oh, and J.D. Schrock says, Met in the Shell.
Yeah, pretty good. That's fair. That's completely fair. Got him. Everybody's reviews here are completely fair.
Yes. Well, you know what it's time for?
Our famous segment.
What are we reading?
What are we going to read?
I'm doing the thing.
What are we reading today? What have you been reading?
I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, yeah. This is our yearly video game talk.
And boy, I hate crafting. That's what I discovered about video games.
Because I recently did a podcast with our friends over at Dragon Friends.
Dragon Friends.
Who do a live Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
It's available Dungeons on their Patreon. Dragons, yep.
But I was saying that I used to play Dungeons & Dragons, and at some point I flipped over and I just don't care about micromanaging anymore.
Yes.
Any civilization, you can raise your constitution, but you've got to lower your dexterity or whatever. Just give me a character.
Yeah.
Just give me the standard character. I don't have to deal with any of that anymore.
And look,
so what's this? This is all that.
Well, no, it's not. Like, the world's kind of cool because it's the future and robots are roaming around and you've got to hunt them and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to use a variety of techniques. But I've found that I'm often going up against the things but I haven't crafted myself the right freeze bomb.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just getting mashed by giant metal birds and whatever. And I know, and I'm looking through the inventory and I'm like, okay, I'll go speak to this guy. I'll buy the thing that I need. Mm-hmm. But then I go to buy it and I've got enough metal shards, which is the currency, but I haven't collected the other three things that I also have to give. So he's going to give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know there's like, everybody's better at video games than me, so I'm sure that
right.
nobody's experiencing this other than me.
Uh-huh.
But it's the same kind of thing that you're talking about. I don't want to craft weapons, and you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I just want to go open a chest and there's a bow there and it does the thing that I need it to do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't want to have to go on, like, do my own kind of independent side story hunting mission to get enough credits to get the thing to take down the bird or whatever. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to do any of that.
Mm.
Anyway, it's fine.
Yeah.
And also,
it kind of takes the idea that it's, I don't know, it takes some of the narrative weight away from it.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if you were watching a movie and there comes up to a big confrontation between the good guys and the bad guys, and the good guy doesn't have the right bow.
Right.
He has to leave and craft a bow. He just has to run away
yeah.
and craft a bow for another 20 minutes and then come back.
I feel like as well, if I had all the stuff, I would enjoy it a lot more. So I think I'm going to plug away at it because it is like the combat's cool and uh-huh. I really like the design of the world and the robots and the main character's pretty cool or whatever. But again, it's the same thing as in any most video game storytelling where you go up to a guy in a village and you're like, hello, can you tell me who my mother is? And he's like, well, now's not really the time for that. And then you're like, do you have anything to trade? And he's like, well, yeah, I guess I do or whatever. And it's just that back and forth dialogue tree shit that's in every fucking game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, skip, 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 don't care, whatever.
You don't care.
No. Because it's not anything. It's no revelation, do you know what I mean? It's just like, you don't belong in this village outsider.
And it's just plugging in all the options until you have all the information
exactly.
that you move forward.
Exactly.
And it's you get all the information, which ultimately is a waypoint that appears on your on your radar and you just go to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, it's pretty good.
Yeah, nice.
On the whole. What else? What are you doing?
I haven't read a bloody thing this week.
Okay, well, I've got some stuff to talk about then. We're talking about The Orbit, which is our
right.
our weekly
yep.
recap of everything that's happening on the Planet Broadcasting website, planetbroadcasting.com, where you can sign up for a newsletter. Raw Collings is actually taking care of it, who does the Weekly Planet Twitter,
right.
Does a lot of stuff on the Reddit. He's an all-around good dude. So he's going to be taking care of that.
And no comment. No, he is. I'm just kidding. He's great.
And so every week he's going to do a recap of all the shows that are going to appear on there daily. Because it is Ben Vanell also, who does Filthy Casuals. He updates it daily with all the new podcast shows and anything else that's kind of happening. There's photos from our live launch. But yeah, what's going out this week, hopefully, is if you're a fan of any of the podcasts that are on there.
I like to think that I am.
Most people have at least one comedy show. So
that's right.
Say
yeah.
If you're in Melbourne, absolutely. Well,
That's why I haven't had any time to watch anything. I've seen like 12 comedy shows in four days, 12 hour long shows.
Absolutely. We're going to go to Dugong on just after this. We're going to try to get to as many as we can.
Yeah. They're doing a show every Sunday.
Yeah.
And they all have solo shows, I think.
Yes.
Jess Perkins is doing a show with Naomi Higgins. Mm-hmm. Matt Stewart's doing his solo show. Dave Warnicki's doing a blind dating show.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And also you're doing Dugong next week, next Sunday.
Yeah. On the 8th, I think I'm doing a show.
So people are interested. So
the 9th, it has to be the 9th.
Come down and watch Mason ruin it.
Yeah. I love to ruin things. Yeah. Thanks to everybody who came down and Dragon Friends while I ruined everything.
Yeah. Good fun.
Oh man, I might do. I'll do some comedy festival recommendations.
Okay, good.
Let me think. Ben Russell, a friend of mine, he's doing a show called The Pilot, which is like a one-man play. It's ridiculous. You should check that out.
I will.
It's real good. My friend Becky Lucas from Sydney is doing a show. It's very good.
I will
check that. Check that out. Bit of stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy. Michael Williams, our friend Michael Williams.
He's great.
He's doing a show.
I've got to see his show this year.
You should totally see that.
Because his last year's show was really good and I missed it.
Yep.
Yeah, he's doing the Encarta, not Encarta. He's like trapped
for legal reasons, it's not Encarta, but it's called Escape from a 90s Educational CD.
Very good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Chimp Cop. See Chimp Cop.
Yes.
Which is like a Naked Gun police squad kind of
with two of the guys from Filthy Casual.
Yeah, it's great.
Not anyway. Tommy, thank God.
Yeah, I know, right? He's got a show.
He's doing his own show, yeah.
Cool. Anyway, comedy.
We'll talk about like more as the weeks go on.
Yeah, if you know, and also if you don't know any of those guys, just YouTube. There's probably some stuff on YouTube. Like Becky Lucas has she was on Triple J's Good As Friday back. Some bloody stand up on there. She's
very
great.
Good. Yeah. Very good, Mason. Mm-hmm. Well, then let's do the letters theme. Not ready at all, are you?
I put everything down. Mate. I was so satisfied with my recommendations.
Never put anything down.
The classic one was letters,
good recovery.
Letters, we love you. Some letters, they're on. Right now, we're
going to
do letters.
Nice.
I feel like that was as slow as you normally do it anyway.
Yeah, right?
Even when you're ready, it's about that.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Start to Continue on Twitter.
Hashtag
Weekly Planet Pod. That's how you reach the show. And also email us at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com where Mason will read out your email.
So at some point. I'm going through the app right now.
Have you been watching Into the Badlands, The Fights Are What Iron Fist Should Have Been? Have you seen any of it?
Somebody sent me a few like best fight compilation clips.
Snippets, clippets?
Snippet clippets.
Yeah, sure.
They're very good.
Good.
It's great.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
I don't know if I'm going to have to, like it's kind of a weird universe clearly. It's kind of a feudal western situation.
Is it the future?
I don't know.
Is it the past?
I don't know.
Is it the Running Man era?
Yeah, it's the Running Man.
Okay, good.
Everybody's wearing yellow Lycra spandex.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question from Dennis. Random question, he says. Have you guys ever heard of a comic called US-1 from Marvel?
No, what is that?
He's a trucker. I have
Oh, okay,
heard
right,
about
yeah.
this because I did a video where I mentioned him ages ago.
But he goes into space, right?
No, maybe, but I know he's got like a CB radio in his head so he can pick up.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of a different thing then.
Maybe it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what an outdated set of powers. Like, be able to pick up CB radio.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, that might not even be it. But yes, I have heard of it.
Wow.
But that's the extent of my knowledge.
Man, imagine hanging out with other superheroes and there's some new ones and they can just connect to the internet and control machines and whatever.
Oh, man.
It's just...
They can order a pizza via Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's the best.
That's the dream, yeah. Mm. This is from Grant. He says... Hey guys, love the pod and YouTube channel. That's it.
Nice.
No, he says, my question is, do you guys think we'll get another Dragon Ball Z movie?
In our lifetimes?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
How did Power Rangers do, money-wise?
I have no idea. I think it did okay.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, that's enough for them to do another one, so Dragon Ball Z is next.
Now, do a Voltron, mate. Do a bloody Voltron. Don't you think?
Yeah, they'll definitely do a Voltron.
Have you seen Dragon Ball Evolution?
No.
It's really good. It kind of gets a bad rap.
The live action.
No, it's real. It's unbearable. Okay. It's so bad. It's so bad.
You April fooled me
again. I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
But it's everything that you... It's not even just like... It's not even a casting issue. Oh, no, it is a casting. It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a thing that's wrong, except James Marsden plays Piccolo. He's pretty good. So I'd say that's...
Wait,
that's
James Marsden or James Masters?
Masters, sorry.
So Spike from Buffy.
Spike from Buffy. Okay. And he's used to having a prosthetic, isn't he? Because he's often got that ridged forehead in Buffy when he goes all bad vampire.
Mm.
What a great show that I've never really seen. Got a letter, Mason?
I'm still looking, man. Hang on.
Good gravy.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing gonna break my stride.
Somebody gonna slow me down. Whoa,
oh, no. I got to keep on moving. And I'm gonna make my stride. Don't stop. If you break my stride, I'll murder your wife.
Oh, here's a good one.
Okay.
Okay. So this is from John Wright. This is on the email, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. It's titled Harrison Ford Ultimatum.
Ooh.
Anyways, he found the podcast a few months ago. He loves it. He said something nice
Harrison
about the show.
Ford did.
No, John Wright did. Oh. Harrison Ford wouldn't listen to this. He's a guy with a CB radio in his head. He would not. He would not listen to a podcast. Thanks for introducing me to the folks that do go on. They're a lovely bunch.
No problem.
Again, I think I've said this on the show. I've certainly said it to you in person. I'll recommend that show to people. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'll give it a try. And then a week later, they're like, I've listened to every episode.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So here's the ultimatum. Would you rather have to tell Harrison Ford that he's too old to fly and you've come to revoke his pilot's license, or tell him he's too old to wear an earring and that you have come to remove said earring?
Well, it's a question of which is funnier.
Yeah,
like which? I feel like the pilot's license one would be dangerous. Like, he'd fight you for that, but he might not fight you on the earring because you see him at events and he sometimes doesn't have it in.
I think he would fight you on the earring.
Really?
I think opposite. I think if you said, Harrison Ford, I've come to revoke your pilot's license, I think he'd say, I don't believe you, and also I'll see you in court.
Like, yeah.
You can talk to my lawyer about it, kind of thing.
Sure.
But I think if you were like, I'm here to take your earring from you.
Okay, so if he says no, do you have to get it off him?
I think so, yeah.
So you have to rip it out of his...
I'm assuming, yes. You have to physically take it from him, yeah.
Do you reckon either of us could beat up Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
I mean, he's old, but he's pretty strong.
You don't know that.
He's fit. He looked after
himself. He broke that leg because he went through a door the wrong way.
No, the door fell on him.
That's what I mean.
I'm pretty sure that would break anybody's leg.
Yeah, right, fine, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could take him together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we could take his license and his earring.
Yeah.
What are...
I think the earring would be a funnier conversation to have. Just be
really?
Like, yeah, because I reckon I could talk him out of it. Just be like, what are you doing? Like, how old are you? Like 74? People don't do this. Nobody even wears earrings anymore,
I guess,
man.
It depends on what he's more proud of. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I think he's more proud of pilot licensing, I'd imagine.
Or do you think he's more proud that he's cool enough to wear an earring? When does he wear the earring? Does he wear the earring when he's hanging out with Ally McBeal?
It's maybe. I don't know.
Does she love it or does she hate it?
That's a really good question.
You might
question.
Have to get Ally
yeah.
McBeal on side.
Yeah, that's what
know?
I mean. Yeah. Yeah. Surely she doesn't. Because it's not, I don't know, it's not even... It's like a weird stud as well.
Yeah,
do you
right.
know what I mean?
It's not, diamond stud. Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
I'm not against earrings, but I just don't feel it even. It doesn't suit him at all.
Maybe one of his kids gave it to him or something.
Right. Yeah.
Then you'd really have to fight him for it.
Absolutely.
You give up the pilot's license for. Why are we talking about this?
Because you brought it up.
I did bring it up.
Yeah.
I was like, this is. You know what we were talking about Legion earlier.
Yeah.
I just had this thought because what we're saying was profoundly dumb. That it was glad. I'm glad that we had a superhero show that wasn't not treating us like idiots.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. 100% agree.
Anyway, I'm glad we came to the bottom of that conundrum. Did we come to a consensus on that?
Yeah, earring, I guess. Or you pick the other one. I'm going to say earring.
Yeah, earring.
Done.
Yeah, nice.
As long as we can get Ally McBeal on side.
That's right.
And we can beat him up.
That's all I want. That's all I want.
All right. I just want to quickly, Mason, this ties into the orbit as well, talk about YouTube, because there's been a whole lot of stuff happening on YouTube that I didn't notice. And if you'd like to watch our stuff on YouTube, this may affect it at some point. But basically, there's been a boycott of brands on YouTube because the mainstream media, Mason.
Oh, those the lame stream
yeah,
media.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. But they've started this kind of boycott where a whole lot of major brands have pulled out of YouTube. They reckon $1 billion plus of advertising.
Wow. For what reason?
Because they talked about that there was some like coke ads and whatever playing on white supremacist videos.
Ugh.
Which it could very well happen, but this hundreds of millions of hours uploaded to YouTube every day. Mm-hmm. Like ads run on anything that's kind of monetized. And also brands can also choose what it wants to be on. Look, it shouldn't happen. It's a massive oversight. Uh-huh. But this also comes off the back of that PewDiePie's a Nazi kind of...
Oh, sure,
kind of horse shit. And the joke that he made, it wasn't a particularly good joke, but he's not a Nazi. Do you know what I mean? I think there is
he's an edgelord.
Sure, yeah. But like... He seems like an okay guy. Like, I don't really know anything about him. I've had zero interactions with him, but he's not a bad bloke.
You're his best friend.
We're best friends, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, and so I think there is this kind of dying gasp from a lot of these publications that they're dying. You know what I mean? And these people who write these articles have like very little following. And then they see a guy like him or a whole lot of other people on YouTube who have these massive followings. They can upload a video of them farting into a microphone and a million people will watch it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I can understand that could be frustrating.
And then they get those Coke dollars.
Yeah, you better believe it. And so in the process, I think they kind of... the way that you kind of sabotage that and take the power away from people is you remove the brands.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's happening. So all these major brands are pulling out like Coca-Cola and Tesco and I think the Australian government even pulled out of their YouTube ads.
Whoa.
If you can believe that,
how
Mason.
Will we know what fruits and vegetables not to bring into the country now?
How do I know whether I want to join the Army Reserves?
You do.
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
It's only 4 weekends a month or whatever it is that you have to do, is it? I can't remember what it is.
It's only indentured servitude for a long time.
Yeah. But basically, so because of this, a whole lot of ads have been removed, demonetized, like YouTube channels have been demonetized because their content is considered too controversial.
Right.
And it can be anything from like news topics to people talking about like their coming out stories. So they're basically taking anything that might not be brand friendly and demonetizing it.
Oh, wow.
Now, someone like me, because my stuff is just movie related, I'm kind of being left alone at this point.
But you are a firebrand. You'll say anything. You'll say.
I guess I will to an extent.
Right. Yeah.
But I was saying this last week to some people who at the live launch, like I don't trust YouTube as a platform.
Right. Okay.
Which is why I want to move into more podcasting and having the website and kind of building this instead, because any minute this whole thing is going to fall down. And I've been building away from it because I know this is going to, I saw this coming. I didn't know exactly. And maybe it will probably recover and bounce back.
You're a firebrand and a master strategist playing 12-dimensional chess.
No, I'm just paranoid.
Yeah, you're that. Actually, that's what I was thinking of. You're a lunatic.
Yeah, so basically a good way to keep track of us is through the Planet B Casting website and signing up to the newsletter if you want to and all the social medias, because I don't even think this is YouTube's fault. I think they're in kind of like a lot of the shit they do is stupid, but they were put in this situation. And what do? You take the ads off the perceived controversial stuff.
You just think the lamestream media is totes jelly.
Yes.
That's what I do. I figured, yeah.
But that's the thing though, that mainstream media isn't even particularly good. Like a lot of it.
Oh geez. All right.
There's no even sense.
We've all had a few drinks,
but
mate,
I just
all
mean
right.
that like there's no sense of what's real or what's not, because everybody's got an agenda and lying and twisting facts and coming from a certain perspective.
Fake news is what you're saying.
Yeah, but it comes from every side. Do you know what I mean? It's just a fucking shambles. And so anyway, just go to our website.
How good's podcasting though,
yeah,
right?
It's pretty good. Yeah,
it's good. I love it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Up is down, or is it? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Okay, that's the show for this week.
Yeah.
We'll do the thing at the end.
Oh, yeah, you can find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Gmail and Twitter and Bandcamp. We've got to do some audio commentary. It's on holiday. Let's get some stuff done.
Well, I got a bit of time now.
Yeah, nice.
Because of that thing.
Because YouTube is falling to pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Also, you can find at the Weekly Planet. That's our friend Rob Collings.
Yes.
The great man. Let's see. What else can you do? We've got if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies.
That's right.
If you want to chuck in a buck a month, or you can go to our Amazon affiliate link, which is in the episode description, and you can just click and you can buy Bloody Ghost in the Shell original manga if you want. You can buy that famous manga on DVD or Blu-ray, and we're going to kick back somehow, even though you pay the same price. We don't know how it works. What else? We've got some teas on TeePublic.
Yep.
Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our themes.
Correct.
What else?
That's it. That website. I said that 50 times, though.
That's right.
Yeah. Next week. What's next week?
I don't know.
Me neither.
Yeah, right?
Shall I look it up?
Yeah, look it up. See what's coming out.
It's in April, isn't it? We're in April, aren't
we? Yeah.
Is it Guardians? No, I think that's May.
That's May 5.
I think that's a week. We get it a week earlier, though.
Oh, nice. Not real nice.
Smurfs?
Probably not.
Going in Style?
What?
Lost City of Z?
No.
Free Fire?
No.
Unforgettable?
No.
The Circle?
No.
Maybe Fast and Furious?
Oh.
Let me find. Anyway.
Great.
We'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
That's a show?
Yeah, that's a show.
Yeah, it's good stuff. We had a good old time.
It's a good fun time. Thank you for listening.
Podcast.
A review, I guess.
Got you. Subscribe. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody who bloody listens. Yeah, it's great. I love it. And subscribes and says something nice. Tweets at us.
I forgot to mention, when I went to get my ticket for Ghost in the Shell, the guy who sold me the ticket, he was like, oh, you're the guy from the podcast or whatever. I've never been recognized in public. I've met him before. I've got tickets on before. Super nice guy. I didn't catch his name because I'm a bad bloke. But thank you for listening. That guy.
If indeed you are still listening, might have turned you off.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
I assume everybody at our live event was like, nah, not anymore.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Yeah. We've had enough. Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right, grab that Jimmy, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.